On September 18th, 1992, 17-year-old Amy Wall was driving home from a concert near her home in California. It had been an awesome night. The concert was amazing. The gifts, the tickets had been a gift from her dad. It was an incredible evening by all accounts. However, Amy's night would end in tragedy. A man named Joe Avila had been drinking and decided to get behind the wheel of a car and was now driving drunk on the highway and had found himself driving behind Amy. Joe rear-ended Amy's car, causing it to crash into a tree. Sadly, Amy did not survive the accident. Joe fled the scene but was quickly found, arrested, charged with second-degree murder. He pled guilty and was given a sentence of 12 years in prison. During his time in prison, Joe experienced this period of profound transformation. He was released after serving 7 of his 12-year sentence. Soon after his release, Amy's brother Derek decided that he wanted to meet Joe in person. When they met, Derek shared stories of his sister Amy, painting this picture of this young, vibrant, beloved sister who was full of life. Derek also confessed his initial hatred. I could only see Joe as a monster who deserved nothing but the death penalty. But he also told Joe that he and his family had been made aware of Joe's progress, his transformation in prison, and recognized the changes that had been made by Joe. Joe was overwhelmed with remorse and sincerely asked for Derek's forgiveness. And Derek told Joe that he had forgiven him for taking his sister's life. After their meeting, Joe asked if he could also meet with Derek and Amy's parents. The parents agreed to meet with him, but they had one condition. Joe had to sit and watch hours of footage from Amy's childhood and youth to get a deeper understanding of just how much this daughter and this sister meant to this family. Joe agreed. And after this emotional journey of forgiveness with the brother and watching this video footage, Joe eventually met with Amy's parents, and they too forgave Joe. The most remarkable part of this story, though, is that what happened next? Joe forged a relationship with the Wall family. And together, Joe and the Wall family would go on to speak at events, sharing their incredible journey of forgiveness. Joe's request for forgiveness was agonizing. I mean, I can't even imagine having to sit in front of the people, the parents and the brother of someone's life that was taken, to watch the video, to have to sit through that, to know the agonizing part of seeking forgiveness. The Walls family act of forgiveness kind of goes beyond our imagination and even our expectation, right? I mean, how could someone do that? But the Wall family didn't just forgive, they reconciled with Joe. And honestly, this morning, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around exactly what the Wall family did. After experiencing that kind of loss, I mean, I have 2 kids, many of you all have kids in the room, to experience the loss of a child, I don't think anyone, myself included, would have blamed the Wall family for wanting to see, never wanting to see Joe, never wanting to hear from him again, certainly not forgiving him. But their ability to work through conflict to find reconciliation really reflects the true heart of God. Over the last year, I've heard stories from adults and students, and even had things within myself, stories of broken relationships that, for whatever reason, are just in a bad place. And heard stories of the difficulties because of these broken relationships. And I, too, have been there for a couple of years. And this morning, I think that these relationships probably need some forgiveness and maybe some reconciliation. And as we look into the new year, it's just a couple days away, I hope that, all of us in the room can see the need to take steps like the Wall family and Joe Avila did to heal these broken relationships. Today's sermon is on reconciliation. And we hear that word often. Maybe you know what it means, maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, what is forgiveness? What is reconciliation? How are they different? Well, forgiveness is a decision to no longer hold someone's actions against them. Forgiveness is a work that God does in us, helping us offer an intentional act of love, mercy, and grace. And it involves letting go of resentment and anger and even the desire for revenge. However, forgiveness doesn't mean that we condone someone's actions. Instead, it means we're no longer going to hold on to those actions and hold those against the other person. Forgiving someone also doesn't depend upon the person who did wrong apologizing or even admitting that they have done wrong. Reconciliation, though, on the other hand, is about restoring the relationship. The Walls could have just forgiven Joe and never talked to him or seen him. Even if they did forgive him, they were under no obligation to ever speak with him or ask for his forgiveness, let alone have a relationship with him. Instead, they decided to build a relationship with Joe that started with forgiveness, but ultimately became something so much more, something that was a blessing to both Joe and the Wall family. If I were to conduct a poll this morning, those of you here in the audience, those of you watching online, of people who are in a broken relationship or experiencing a broken relationship or relationships of some kind, my guess is that probably all, if not most all of us in the room would raise our hand and admit that yes, we have broken relationships. I have a broken relationship or relationships in my life. And maybe this morning, you're probably already thinking of that relationship, and you're like, maybe forgiveness does need to be the first step. But maybe you're even thinking, okay, as we're talking about reconciliation, maybe it's not just forgiveness, but maybe reconciliation is the next step. This morning, I want to dive into Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. We're going to start in verse 17. Paul has a lot to say about reconciliation here in these verses. Let's just go ahead and dive into it this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And Paul talks and starts this section of Scripture off by drawing a clear line in the sand. This is how you once were. This is how you are now. If you are a Christ follower, he's saying that following Jesus means your life is different. You leave your old ways, your old self behind, and you become a new person. Your life is different. It is changed. Your old life is unfulfilled. It's filled with conflict, revenge and chaos, and this new life, if you're a Christ follower, is fulfilled. It's fulfillment. It's not looking to cause pain and seek revenge. It's about restoration. It's not about broken. It's about mending. Lives outside of Jesus are truly broken and unfulfilled lives. And so the question this morning becomes how? How do our lives go from broken and unfulfilled to whole, mended, complete, and fulfilled? Well, the answer to that is this, is that God offers reconciliation for all of humanity. Let's go back to verse 18 and the first part of verse 19. "All of this is from God who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Through Jesus' sacrifice, God has given us the gift of not only forgiveness, but also reconciliation. Through Jesus, God no longer counts our sin against us. Instead of judgment, Jesus makes it possible for us to have a real, meaningful relationship with God the Father. Let me paint a picture of the gospel and humanity here for a second, kind of from God's perspective. God created humans. He created you and I. He gave all of us the opportunity to choose His way over ours. Yet more often than not, you and I, we choose our way over His. That choice, that decision to choose our way over God's way is what we call sin. The problem with sin is that it isn't just being stubborn or being disobedient. It creates distance. It creates separation between us and God the more we choose our way over His. And that strains this perfect relationship with Him that you and I, that we were meant to have. So what happens then? Well, God saw and made this choice that none of us really could have made for ourselves. He saw us in our rebellion. When we were deep in our sin, deep in our rebellion, God chose to forgive us anyway. That's how God took forgiveness to the next level. It's reconciliation. See, it wasn't good enough for God just to forgive you and I. He wanted more than that for us. But it required an incredible sacrifice on His behalf. Here's how Jesus describes it in the Gospel of John, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And we've heard verse 16 a million billion times, but it's such an incredible reminder of what God is willing to do to offer us reconciliation. And we hardly look at verse 17, but it's a reminder that instead of judgment, God chose love. God chose to make all of humanity whole again. God chose to make you and I whole. Plain and simple, He chose us. He chose you and He chose me and our deepest, darkest, worst parts of life. Because God has reconciled us, reconciliation now continues through us. Let's go back to what Paul says in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Did you catch that in the first little part there? You see, reconciliation is a gift that we've received as Christ followers, but it does not end there. God has given every believer, you and I, the responsibility of allowing Him to make His appeal through us. That means you and I, we get to be the example to others of what it looks like to be reconciled to God. You and I can be reconciled to God because of Jesus' sacrifice. But God doesn't stop there. Much like Joe Avila and the Wall family chose to come together and share their story of reconciliation with others, to give hope to others, God has chosen us, you and I, to share His message of reconciliation with others who so desperately need it. Look at, again, what Paul says at the end of verse 19. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I, all of us, have within us the ability to be reconciled with others because God reconciled Himself with us. All of us in this room have sinned against God. We purposely separated ourselves from Him by doing things our way instead of His way. And Paul says that God showed us how reconciliation is possible. And now it's our job, it's our ministry to bring that message of reconciliation to others. We are to model reconciliation in our lives. And this morning you're probably thinking, man, this is intimidating. I don't even know, like, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because God did it first. And if God can love us, if God can bring us back to Him when we wanted nothing to do with Him, it's possible. God has given us the power to be reconciled with others. No matter how difficult it might be, reconciliation is possible because it's possible through God. If you have never personally experienced forgiveness and reconciliation, that is only possible through Jesus this morning. After this sermon, I would love to talk with you. I'll be over here. Talk with another Christ follower. Have a conversation with someone if you're open to it. We would love to help you answer questions and find the answers to get you on the right path towards forgiveness and salvation. If you have given your life to Jesus this morning, if you've experienced forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus, I want us to be encouraged to be committed to the ministry of reconciliation in our lives. If you don't know where to begin with reconciliation, let me give you a few steps this morning. The first is this: identify your broken relationships. I mean, this step is easy, right? I mean, all of us, if we are honest this morning, as we've been talking, going through the sermon, you've probably already got people in your head, people that you know, you have a relationship that's broken and needs fixing. It's easy, right? Sometimes relationships can go sideways for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it's for big reasons, like someone telling you they don't love you anymore. Sometimes it's for small reasons, like you told someone you were going to do something and you forgot to follow through on that commitment. Sometimes it can seem like relationships just go south and become strained for no reason at all. No matter how our relationships became broken, once these relationships are broken, they very rarely fix themselves without someone taking the step towards reconciliation. Often that first step is simply identifying which of our relationships are in trouble. This week, let me encourage you. We got some time this week. Hopefully you got a day off or two this week. Take some time this week to think through your relationships. Which relationships in your life need reconciliation? Here's a couple of questions. Write these down. These are important. Take notes on your phone real quick. First question is this: who did I used to spend more time with than I do now? Second question: who have I been avoiding? The third question: who am I holding a grudge against? And the fourth question: who have I not forgiven even though I know I should have? The next step, if you've figured out these broken relationships, you've answered these questions, you've got the person or the people, the relationships in mind, the next step is to pray for those relationships. Once we have our relationships and the people identified, set aside time every single day this week and the next week, and the week after that, to pray for each person that is on that list. Each person that we have a broken or a strained relationship with. And as we pray, we need to ask God to bless that person. And that's difficult. If you know of something challenging that they're experiencing or that they're facing, ask God to give them the wisdom to handle that situation well. Pray to God to help them experience His grace, His hope, His love every single day. I don't know about you, but in my own life, I have found it incredibly difficult to be holding a grudge against someone that I'm actively praying for and someone I'm praying that God would bless. I mean, it's almost impossible, right? If you're asking God to bless that person, it's hard to hold a grudge against them. Here's another prayer to add to that. Pray that God would prepare that person for a potential conversation. Asking Him to give them a heart that wants to reconcile. But don't just pray for that person or those people. Pray for yourself as well. Pray for yourself to be open to that conversation and trusting God to give you the opportunity to talk with that person. Ask God to help you trust, to heal the relationship, and to give you the heart of grace and love like our Father has for us. And if we are serious about finding those relationships, asking those questions, praying for that person or the people that we have strained relationships with, if we are committed to this point, of reconciling broken and strained relationships, then it's time for step three. Have a much-needed conversation. And if we're honest, this is where most of us probably want to stop. This is probably where the train comes to a halt quick. This step is a tough one. It's one where the stakes feel the highest, and there's always the chance that the conversation with that person will somehow end up making things worse. But without a conversation, reconciliation is near impossible. Sure, we can forgive someone without ever talking to them, because forgiveness is when one person chooses to stop holding someone else's past actions against them. But reconciliation, that takes both parties coming together to figure things out for the better. And the only way that happens is through conversation. You see, this step was the one that I had personally been avoiding the most. It had been probably a year and a half since Tori Van Meter, now Spanauer, left Jefferson. And I was holding on to some real tough feelings about her deciding to leave. And I'd come to the conclusion over the spring that it was time, that I was in the wrong for my thoughts towards her and the way I held her leaving this church against her. And it was time. So I actively started to pray. All right, this relationship needs to be fixed. I'd been praying, and then one afternoon I'd gone on to run an errand here for the church, and when I came back, she was here. And I knew that was an answer to prayer, that it was time. It was time for her and I to have a conversation, to begin to bring healing into our strained relationship. I had gone out to run that errand, saw her here, and when I saw her, the opportunity was there, and I had to take it. We sat down, and I laid out everything, the feelings that I had, the resentment, the anger that I had towards her for leaving, the way that I had treated her, the things that I had said, how we used to be close, but because of her decision to leave, how we had grown further and further apart, how we now avoided each other in the small town of King, which is nearly impossible. I didn't want my feelings and our actions to be the standard moving forward. I wanted to be friends again. My heart was racing that entire conversation, but as we were talking and I was laying it all out, I knew the healing was beginning. I admitted my wrong in the relationship. And I asked for her forgiveness. And as I asked for her forgiveness, she started laying out all the things that were on her heart as well. And she asked me to forgive her. And I did. We began to reconcile our relationship in that moment. I'm going to tell you right now, it was so good to get all of that out. I'll tell you, our relationship really isn't like it was before, and that's okay. We see each other. We smile. We talk about our ministry. We don't go out of our way to avoid each other. And I can tell you right now, I'm honestly happy at the work that she's doing over at Poplar Springs. And I was not until we sat down and talked. These conversations are never easy, but they serve as a crucial first step towards bending broken or strained relationships. Christ followers, remember, we know what it's like to be loved by a God who didn't have to go through what he did to love us, forgive us, and bring us back to him. He sacrificed everything so that we could be reconciled with him. We have to be a people who celebrate what God has done for us in our lives by sharing it with those who need it just as much as we do. Let's pray. Lord God, relationships are tough sometimes. And they're often the hardest when it comes to people that we're the closest with. Most of the time, family or really close friends We can let one little thing become this mountain that is so difficult to overcome. And we're also hurt the deepest by the people who should love us the most. And we hurt people the deepest when we should love them the most. No one in this room is exempt from offering forgiveness and accepting forgiveness. And if we are a follower of yours, if we have been reconciled through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, if we've been brought back to you, God, we should do the same for the broken relationships that we have in our lives as well. You showed us how. You paved the way. And it is our ministry to continue to bring reconciliation into the world. That's tough. But you wouldn't call us to it if we weren't capable of doing it, God. So give us the heart. Give us the mindset. Give us the strength. Give us the courage to seek reconciliation with those that we know that relationship needs it the most. And we give you thanks and we give you glory for reconciling us back to you. If there's someone in the room this morning that doesn't know that reconciliation, may they begin the journey today to be reconciled to you, to know what true forgiveness is, to know what grace and mercy is, to then extend that to others. I pray this in your name. Amen. Like I said earlier, if you have not, if you've not been reconciled back to God, what a wonderful day to do that. It is not too late. That option is available to you. I will be off to the side. Robin's in the room. There are people in this room who would love to have that conversation with you, to confess Jesus as Lord, to be baptized, to begin a new life. If you need prayer for strength, or you got a relationship and you're like, man, I need some help. I need some prayer. I need some guidance. Once again, I would love to talk with you, Robin, and people in this room. Don't let the opportunity go without making some decisions this morning. I'll be off to the side if you want to talk. Let's stand as we sing this song.